Welcome to the Ask Dr. Turner Radio Ministry broadcast. Prepare to be enlightened and empowered. Without further delay, here's your host, Dr. Turner.
Greetings. This is your co-host, Brother Fidel Donaldson, sitting in for the anointed apostle, Dr. LaTanya Turner, and the prophetic pastor, Deborah Freeman. You're in tune to the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast, an interactive broadcast specifically designed by Holy Spirit with you in mind. I am truly excited to be coming to you with the word of the Lord today. I want to tell you, glory to God, you are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And I'm sending blessings because this is a special edition of the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast as we are in the time and the season of the celebration of the Passover. Remember, the broadcast is brought to you by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Our service times, beloved, Sunday, 12 noon. We want you to join us tomorrow, Sunday, 12 noon, 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. We are expecting a tremendous, an awesome move of Almighty God. Remember, this is a ministry, a church that prays without ceasing, has a great concern for souls, for missions. And you need to know that we here at the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast, we continue to pray fervently and effectively, earnestly, for you, our listeners, and your family, because we believe strongly in the power of God to bring forth change and transformation in terms of the things that you're dealing with. And as previously stated, this is the reason why the Spirit of God unctionized Dr. Turner to record a prayer CD, beloved, that is really, really helping. And you can get a copy of that CD at our website, AskDrTurner.org. And because the broadcast is interactive, we would like to hear from you. Please email any questions you may have to Ask Dr. Turner, the number 8 at gmail.com. That is AskDrTurner, the number 8 at gmail.com. And I feel the unction to ask you to remember this broadcast in your giving. Your giving is your living, and you sow according to where you want to go and according to how you want to grow. And if the Lord puts it up on your heart, you can use our cash app, the $capital I, capital H, followed by the word church with a capital C. Once again, the $capital P, capital I, capital H, followed by the word church with a capital C. You can also write to us, Pure in Heart, P.O. Box 26725, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. Beloved, to say I'm excited about the word of the Lord He has given me to share with you would be an understatement. I am just elated. Our subject is the resurrection and the resurrector. Once again, the resurrection and the resurrector. Beloveds, this weekend, beginning on Friday, April 2nd, through Sunday, April 3rd, represents and commemorates one of the greatest events and period in human history, bar none. And this edition of the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast, as it is airing on April 3rd, Saturday, the day that is between Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, it is imperative, glory to God, that our moods are reflective. It is a time for all Christians to reflect individually and corporately, not only on the resurrection, but also on the resurrector, the greatest gift given to human beings from God Almighty. And this gift was necessary and is still necessary, beloved, because according to Ezekiel 18 and 30, the Bible declares that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is an emphatic statement. In other words, outside of the gift of God, the resurrector, no human being is exempt from the death that sin brings, the eternal separation from Almighty God. We know this to be true because Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 tells us the result of sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can go all the way back into the book of Exodus, which represents a departure, a coming out of bondage of a chosen people. It says in Exodus 30:12, when thou takest the sum, God speaking to Moses, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. So in other words, a ransom was required for every soul in order that the plague would not destroy them. Beloved, there is a plague that is destroying and have destroyed, glory to God, the human race for a long time, and it is the plague of S-I-N, sin, missing God's perfect mark. But you see, the gift of God who came to give his life as a ransom for the sins of the world. Now, the ransom referred to in Exodus 30:12 was pertaining to the specific people, the Israelites, those people called out of bondage in Egypt. But when God sent the gift for eternity, the gift of God who came to give his life as a ransom, it was for the sins of the world. So those who put their faith and their trust in him can have eternal life with God the Father. We call him Jesus Christ, which is the Greek rendering of his Hebrew name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua, the name Yeshua, is a shortened version of the name Yehoshua or Joshua, and is the literal Hebrew word for salvation. It comes from the Hebrew root words yod, shin, ayin, meaning to deliver, to save, or to rescue. Beloved, in other words, Yah saves, or Yah is salvation. After the creation of the world and all that are in it, the birth of the gift of God, King Jesus, his crucifixion, and his resurrection from the grave with all power and authority to take his seat at the right hand of majesty, at the throne of majesty. These are the greatest events in the annals of history, again, barring none. Nothing compares to it. Neither can anything or anyone rival it. Doesn't matter the greatness they've accomplished, and there are men and women who have accomplished great things, but there's none greater than Jesus, because he alone, I say again, can offer salvation, eternal life through the shedding of his blood, his death, his burial, his resurrection. So we must let a lost and dying world know that Christ died for their sins, but Christ has risen, and Christ will come again, not as the Lamb of God like he came the first time, but as the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. In and for salvation, he is the Lamb. He is the only way to God the Father, right? He is the only way that sin can be expiated, propitiated. But when it comes to dealing with the enemy of our souls, the one who keeps souls in bondage. Jesus Christ is the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. And beloved, when he resurrected from the grave, the Bible says he led captivity captive, according to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read some of the verses to you, beginning at verse 7. Apostle Paul, writing under the unction and the direction of the Holy Spirit, wrote this. Excuse me. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So God gives each and every one of us a measure of grace who trust in Jesus Christ, because it is through grace and faith that we can receive salvation. Christ, Mashiach means the anointed one. What does the anointing? What does the anointed one do? The prophet Isaiah tells us that yokes are destroyed because of the anointing. So the yoke of sin, which has plagued humanity from the time Eve was deceived and Adam rebelled, that yoke of sin, that bondage, glory to God, that is so destructive and separates people from their Creator, from God. Listen to me, beloved. There is only one way that it could be destroyed. And Yeshua, Jesus, is that way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, meaning no woman, no child, can come to the Father except by me. So the number one yoke he destroys and has destroyed through his resurrection power is the yoke of the bondage to sin. And remember, we establish it from the very beginning. No one is exempt. Doesn't matter their family pedigree. Does not matter how much wealth and education they possess. He or she possesses. No. Glory to God. Like David said, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Verse 8 tells us, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Beloveds, the number one gift given to us by God is Jesus Christ himself, the resurrector. Let's reflect on this. Let's meditate on this. Let's set our mind on this as we commemorate, glory to God, the Passover, what we commonly refer to as, you know, Resurrection Sunday. Some call it Easter Sunday. I don't use that term. Resurrection Sunday. We reflect on Jesus Christ himself, the salvation of Yah. Verse 9 tells us, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Romans 1:18 records Yeshua's word to John. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. My God, was dead because he is not in the grave. He is risen with power and authority, all power and authority. He rose triumphantly, beloved. And because he rose, everyone who puts their faith, their trust in him, can have a hope of the Spirit of the living God quickening their mortal bodies, causing them to rise from the grave through, again, the quickening power of the Holy Ghost. But the question is, when that takes place, and at some point we all stand before the judgment seat, the bema of Christ, will we hear, welcome into the rest that I've prepared for you? Or will we hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I knew you not? Again, let me read Revelation 1:18. Now I read it in its entirety. Yeshua, glory to God, in his risen state, the Spirit of God is speaking now to John, saying, I am he that liveth and was dead. Yeshua, remember, is speaking, glory to God, to his beloved disciple John while he's on the Isle of Patmos. And he's telling him that I am he that liveth, glory to God, and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. The one who has the keys, beloved, has the authority. They have the ability to open and shut. This is what makes his resurrection so pivotal. Prior to the Word's incarnation, remember the scripture says, the Jehovah's Witnesses doctrine notwithstanding, the scriptures say, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Logos. Prior to the Word's incarnation and during his earthly ministry, when he came in bodily form through the womb of Mary to minister on the earth, several people were raised from the dead, right? Prior, and he raised some himself. Prophet Elijah, through the power of God, was able to raise the son of the widow of Zarephath from the grave. His spiritual son and mentee, the prophet Elisha, raised the son of the Shunammite woman from the grave. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter, glory to God, and the widow of Nain's son from the dead. The difference between Jesus and all others who were raised from the dead is this. When he rose, beloved, he rose with victory over the last enemy, which is death. All others who were raised from the dead died again. But when he rose as the first fruit of all whom God Almighty would resurrect from the grave, he rose with all power and authority. So, as we commemorate and celebrate his resurrection, let us remember the souls, beloved, who are trapped in sin, trapped in the bondage of sin, those who are on the verge of dying in their sin, going into an eternity without a loving relationship with the Father, the God who created them. Let us remember not only the resurrection, but let us remember Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Resurrector. Last Saturday, I was speaking with my dear friend and Hebrew professor, Mike Grubbs, and he said something to me that blessed and stirred me. He told me how he would be preaching, glory to God, tomorrow on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. He said, while many preachers would be focused solely on the resurrection, he was going to preach on the Resurrector. And that is why I was so inspired by that. That is why I'm sharing with you from the subject, the resurrection and the Resurrector, because it blessed me tremendously. Because the resurrection may have taken place over 2,000 years ago. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was a one-time event. But as the Resurrector, he is constantly resurrecting, restoring, redeeming human lives. Lives who are in bondage, lives that are being lived in depression, in despair, in hopelessness. The Resurrector is healing broken hearts. He is the repairer of the breach, beloved. John 3, beginning at 13, he declared, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Glory to God. In his pre-incarnated state, beloved, as I said before, as the Word, he existed in eternity. Glory to God. Right? John 3:14, he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Speaking about Of course, after he rose from the grave, he ascended up into the heavenlies to take his place and position at the right hand of majesty. John 3:15, he's explaining to us why it happened, that whosoever believeth, trusteth in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. So we can't get caught up in, you know, ecumenism, you know, trying to placate and pacify people of, you know, other religious persuasion. No, we must emphatically and boldly quote the words of Jesus Christ to them. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth, put their trust and reliance in him for salvation, will not perish. In other words, will not suffer the penalty that sin brings, which is eternal separation from Almighty God. But they shall have eternal life in the presence of Almighty God. Why? Because of love. That's who the gift, the resurrector, is. He is the embodiment of the love of God. Because God said, it is through love and kindness that I've drawn thee. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I asked this question in my first book, Mercy and the Sufficiency of Grace. Who would give their son, their daughter, to die in place of a murderer, in place of a pedophile, in place of someone who has committed the most heinous and reprehensible acts? Not only would we not be willing to give over our only begotten, we would demand justice. Some even would say, put those individuals to death. But instead of death, God has offered the gift of love, the opportunity for individuals to repent, to have a changing, a turning of thought, hearts, and minds. That's what the love of God does. It sent forth his only begotten son, that whosoever would trust, whosoever would believe in him and in the finished work that he has accomplished, should not perish, but should have everlasting life. John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world may be saved. So listen, beloved, God takes no delight in the death of the wicked. Here the Lord is saying, listen, I'm sending my son the first time not to condemn the world, right? But that through him the world may be saved, right? Because the world is under judgment and condemnation because of sin, because of transgression. It's always interesting to me when some tragedy hits, you'll hear people saying, well, why did God allow that to happen? Well, it happened because there's rebellion and sin in the world, in the hearts of people. And remember, we said there's none, you know, really righteous save one, right? And the only way that an individual can receive the righteousness of God is through Jesus Christ. So none of us should be surprised when the words that are written in the scripture are manifested in the earth realm. When it said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So, beloved, in summation, the resurrection is all about the love of God. You know, this is not about, you know, fashionable outfits. This is not about bunny rabbits. This is not about Easter. Go all the way back in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, when God instructed Moses that this shall be the beginning of months for you, right? It is going to be the establishment of the Passover, because God Almighty was getting ready to judge the nation that had his people in bondage. And God was providing a way of escape for his people when the death angel came. And how was God going to do it? He told them to take a lamb, take the blood of the lamb, and strike it on the doorposts of every house. And God made an emphatic statement that when I see the blood, I will pass over. Again, I say, beloved, the only way for the propitiation, the expiation of the sin that plagues humanity is the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, whom God sent because he loved us even while we were yet in our sins and our trespasses. Again, I reiterate this important thought. We must get the message to a lost and dying world. We must, glory to God, get the hope that lies in the resurrection. We must bring this information through evangelism. God loving each and every one of us enough to send his only begotten son into the world to die a substitutionary, a vicarious and atoning death as the Paschal Lamb for the expiation again and the propitiation of our sins. No other person was qualified to do it. No other person can do for you, beloved, can do for me what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and continues to do. The breadth and length and scope of the love of God is so wide, so deep, glory to God, that it can cover through the blood of Yeshua a multitude of sins. That's what the scripture says. Love, the love of God covers a multitude of sins. How does it do it? It does it through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Don't be deceived, the Bible said. Whatsoever a man soweth, whatsoever a woman soweth, that he or she shall also reap. No other person, again, was qualified to do what he did and what he continues to do, to save, to heal, to set free, and to deliver. So I thank God for this time and season commemorating the resurrection and the resurrector, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Let us pray. Father, in the precious, the mighty, the wonderful, the awesome name of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, who you sent to die in our place as a ransom, O God. Father, now we pray for the souls that are unsaved, the souls that are outside the ark of safety. We pray for the backslider, Lord God. We know that salvation is of the Lord. It is only you who can save, set free, and deliver. Lord, we pray, for you said in your word, you told your disciples, look upon the harvest. Look upon the field, rather. They're white for picking. For truly the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You said, pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he may send forth laborers. Glory to God. So I pray for laborers, God, those who would evangelize, God, missionaries, God, who are toiling and laboring in foreign lands. Lord, we pray for a harvesting of soul, especially in the midst of this time and season of the pandemic. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we ask these mercies and we signify, beloved, by saying amen. Beloved, once again, we thank you for joining us on the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast, brought to you by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I cordially extend again an invitation to you to join us in service every Sunday, beloved, 12 noon, 2851 Edgewood Avenue North. I want you, beloved, if you're in need of prayer, if you're in need of someone to speak to, if you're in need of someone to counsel you, please call our prayer line, 904-765-7600. Shalom.
Thank you for tuning into the Ask Dr. Turner radio broadcast, a ministry of Pure in Heart Ministries. To learn more or to submit your questions to Dr. Turner, email askdrturner8@gmail.com or visit askdrturner.org.
We look forward to having you join us again next Saturday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Praise 107.9.